Hi, my name is Pira, and I'm happiness expert. So excited to have a conversation with Pearl.
Hey everybody, it's Pearl again with Women Successful Living. I'm so excited you are back here today with us for another episode of Conversations with Pearl. And today's going to be fun because we're going to talk about happiness and what makes you smile and all those things that are happy. And I have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Perrette. She is a happiness expert. She's a personal happiness and coach and author. She is guiding individuals towards a more joyful and fulfilling life. Perrette was born in Estonia and moved to the US when she was 24 years old. Oh my gosh, can you guys picture that coming here at such a young age? Her mission is to teach people to be happy so we can together help human society move into a joyful, mindful, and love-dominate happy society. Perrette, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk about such a fun subject. Like, just saying happiness makes you smile and feel great.
Yeah, that's true, Pearl. Thank you for having me in your show.
I'm so excited to have you here. So you are a Floridian like myself. So we were just kind of talking to everybody before we hopped on. We're like, how's the weather there? And she's like, oh, it's cold. I'm like, yeah, the Florida cold. So we're kind of joking. So all of our Northerners that are listening, yes, we're crybabies right now because it's a little chilly outside, but it's okay. When you guys are in the snow, we'll be out here in the beautiful sun too, thinking about you. But I want to just kind of get right into it. We're going to talk about your move here and everything, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what was your childhood like? And what led you to do what you're doing, but also maybe even tie in there a little bit about what brought you here to the States?
Well, my childhood was, I grew up in the Soviet Union when I was born. So when I was born, Estonia was still part of the Soviet Union. But when I was about 9 years ago, that's when it all broke down and we got our Independence Day. Estonia actually has two Independence Days. So because it's been under different countries in the history and we celebrate two Independence Days. But yes, when I was 24, I moved to United States. I thought I'm going to stay for 6 months. Ended up staying so far. This year is going to be 20 years now. Yeah. But I've been always interested in guiding people and psychology. I think it started when I was, well, not that I think it started, but I know for sure it started when I was 16. I read Emotional Intelligence with Coleman's. And that's when I started reading more about psychology, being more interested in it. So I've been working on myself, working with my friends in that age, like 16 and like that. So I was like person that my friends came to talk with about their problems when anything was going on in their life. And my friends kind of wanted me to go and study psychology, but I wanted to travel. So that's why I went into hospitality first. And I was traveling and I lived in Germany. And then I came to work in United States and stayed here. And last about, I would say five or maybe even more years, I've been really focused on happiness.
I love like your whole journey and how like historical, let's just talk about, you know, that like coming from Estonia and like, I didn't realize they had two Independence Days, you know, that's a piece of history I didn't realize. And I'm just thinking like at such a young age, seeing all that change that's happening. And then, you know, I'm thinking about your parents, like what is a parent going through when they have these little ones? And it's kind of, you know, it's almost interesting how we're talking about this today. We have all the stuff happening in Ukraine, right? With the whole Soviet Union and Russia there. And so I think that, you know, you're an example of what a young child that has gone through that can still, I mean, there's some trauma that you went through there because I'm sure it wasn't easy. It wasn't like you just go, oh, we're going to leave and, you know, everything's grand, right? There's lots of things that had to play in there for you as a child. And then, you know, and then fast forward at 24 years old, you come here and like you decide, I'm going to make this a permanent thing. I'm going to stay here at such a young age. And I don't know, did you have a lot of contacts or did you have family here, Perrette?
No, I came all by myself. When I came, it was just me and I just figured out I like traveling. And that's why I say with all those experiences as well. And that's why I learned how to teach happiness. because somehow I'm one of those people who are like naturally born happy.
Right.
So I'm still investigating how that works out and like reading about it, like how come I was like that? Because when I was going through all those experiences with separation and all those hard times there, I was still finding ways to be happy. So I know, remember that thing where for adults and everybody else, and some people would take it such a like hard ways and they get emotional damage and all things from that. And I didn't. And that's what I'm investigating, like with the being that kind of naturally happy person and trying to teach what comes naturally to me, teach that to others who have problems with it. Because I remember we had to stay in a line to buy bread because there was such a shortage of everything.
Right.
And for me, I think I was about 8 years old or so. But for me, it was fun. The way I see it, I was fun. I was standing there and I would make it fun for my friends as well. Just like playing around, playing games, you know, making that experience fun. And that's what I learned in a life as well. When I go through things, I try to find something to make that experience something else to like get the best out. Well, not the best, but try to make it fun in some way. And then try to find a positive outcome for the situation.
I think that's so, I think, you know, that's so powerful that you took something, because, you know, I think for children, a lot of times we're so carefree. We're not, you know, we haven't reached that adulthood where we realize, oh, this is happening in the world. This is how it can affect me. We're like, we're a little carefree. And then how you were able to take that and sort of carry that forward in your life. And with even like with the challenges you came through with how you grew up in your country, and then to move here at 24, like by yourself, nobody, I mean, that's freaking scary, you guys. I mean, listen to that. Like, here she is, a single woman moving here to the States, doesn't know anybody. And look at her today, like almost 20 some years later, she's a successful entrepreneur. She's still happy. She's talking about happiness. And I mean, for those of you who are driving, you have to go back and watch this on YouTube when you get home, because she's got the most beautiful big smile when she's speaking. And I can just, as you were describing yourself, Perrette, as a little girl, I could just see that little girl. I had that picture in my head of like standing alone with the bread and mom's going, come on, Perrette, stand still, don't move. You know, and you're like going, let's go. Let's woo, you know, you're just having fun and enjoying life. And I think that for one of the things that I love when I work with my clients as coach on is let's go back and look at that child. Like when you were so carefree, let's bring some of that into your life, because yes, life is serious. Life gets real. We have challenges. It doesn't have to mean that we have to be, you know, so wrapped up in the challenges that we can't celebrate the little bit of joys. Like, even if it's just like you woke up this morning and, you know, and I hope you aren't one of those people that are listening that maybe you've lost your job, right? Maybe you, yeah, that's a terrible thing that happens. And maybe there's something on the other side that's like waiting for you that maybe you put on the shelf for a little bit and was like, I'll do that when I quit my job. So maybe it's God saying, why don't you pick that up, right? Like we're getting ready to do this really cool thing. It's called a glow up challenge. It's a 30-day challenge. We're going to start on January 1st. And so we're talking about, How do you glow up in your life? Like, how do you overcome and persevere through things that are challenging and start applying simple 5-minute things to do for yourself, right? Because we get so wrapped up in the busyness, we forget to do something for ourselves that can actually start our day off on a happy note, right? So we're going to do things like that. But I love that one of the things too you talked about was when you're in school and how your friends were coming, like that you learned emotional intelligence at 16. You guys, if you have teenagers, what we're talking about here today, emotional intelligence, you hear me talk about positive intelligence, reach out to me or I'll give you Perrette's information too. Reach out to us and let us share with you, because it's so powerful if you can teach your children at a young age what emotional intelligence is, what's positive intelligence, like how to take the saboteurs and the judges that are in our head, which is what I love coaching on, Perrette. I know you probably do some of this as well in your coaching, is I love to share like how we stage those thoughts. Those thoughts that tell us that, oh, why are you doing that? You're not worth it. Or somebody says to you, oh, that's just a waste of time. Why are you even going to do that? So you start believing those negative thoughts. And I love to do a staging with those thoughts, putting tools into place, having things as simple as rolling your fingers together just to kind of calm those thoughts. And even naming the thoughts, like for me, her name is Betsy. Like if Betsy shows up, I'm like, yeah, Betsy, we're not doing this today, you know, and it's easy to get down a rabbit hole of, oh, whoa, me. Oh, everything's going wrong. My, you know, in my life, nothing goes right. instead of saying, well, today that's not going right in my day, but guess what? My son got engaged, or I heard from an old friend. Like, there's other things that we can be happy about that can sort of sage those negative thoughts, right? And I love what you said, like, at a young age, your friends were coming to you. It resonated with me because it was the same thing. Like, my friends would come to me in high school and be like, can I talk to you about something? Can we talk about this? And they knew that it would stay with me. But I would also say, well, what if we did this? Or what if you looked at this, right? And so that's sort of one of the things that, as a younger, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, but here I am, I'm a coach, right? But so tell us about that. Like, how did you take that? Where was the moment in your life, Perrette, that you took this emotional intelligence and all these things you, as a young girl, and decided, you know what, I want to do something with this? Was there something pivotal that happened in your life that you said, I want to go help change lives with this happiness expert that I am?
Mm-hmm. That was interesting that you were pointed it out again, how they came to me early like this. And what you were saying, what I think was important, that they, same thing, they knew I would never tell to other people about it. So that's kind of the trust part. And I have so far, like with all my clients, they know, like they can tell me absolutely whatever. I would never go and tell anybody else anything about what they told me. And the same way it was with my friends, because the trust was so, so big. So they know that, like, whatever they say, I will never say to somebody else. It will just stay between me and the person. And we'll try to find solutions together. And what I like to do as well, I use a lot of neuro-linguistic programming. But the way I do it, I try to get questions out of themselves. So I will ask the right questions and lead them to find their own answers. A lot of times I work, because I learned that as well from one person that was teaching about negotiate, how he was helping in a suicide line and saying, like, the work that he does, he had to make that person to understand that he can do it himself for the person who was calling, instead of always relying on somebody else helping them in that situation. So that's what I try to do for my clients. I try to teach them how to finally learn to help yourself. So in those moments, you can help yourself, like reach out when you need. Still, reach out, always reach out for help. It is more fun as well. But how to rely, start learning how to get the answers from yourself, so the true answers to yourself. But you need help in the beginning to learn that.
Yeah, I like that. I'm glad you brought that up, because we do. I think what happens is we don't realize. I think in a lot of cases, we know we have the answers within. However, like you said, we struggle with, is that the answer, or is that what I think the answer is? Like we struggle with that thought process of how to break it down. And yeah, absolutely. Like you said, like getting help, getting a coach like yourself, or, you know, even working with me, like finding out what is that emotional intelligence piece of it, and how to know if that's just that saboteur, or that judge that's showing up, or if that's a real thought I need to work on. Right. And how to manage those thoughts. It's so important to have an expert to help do that, because, you know, there's so many things in this world that, you know, especially if we think about as a young age. So if you're a parent with a child like younger than 7, what you say to that child between now and 7 years old is going to impact them the rest of their lives. And I'm an example of that. I mean, my dad did 3 tours in Vietnam. My mom was home with us kids. And I've had a lot of challenges with my parents. And I realized that my mom has, I grew up with a mom that had resentment towards me, right? Because my parents took off at, my mother was 17 years old. They took off to Tijuana, Mexico, and got married. And then, you know, not even a year later, here she is, you know, delivering me as a child, and her husband's off at war. And so she's not even 18 years old, barely 18 years old. And then what happens is all her friends are out having fun. I mean, if you're listening to us, like, picture yourself. What were you doing at 17 years old? Most of us were not having little babies at home. And most of us today don't have a spouse off at war. So here she is, you know, with this baby. And I didn't realize it until I personally, and those of you that are listening, coaches need coaches and coaches need therapists and all those things. And I didn't realize it until I was actually talking with somebody that I've interviewed. And she is what she calls a trauma accountant. And what she does is she works with people that get stuck at saying, I can't make more than this income because they have trauma that's holding them back from stepping forward into that success, right? And I was like, wow. So we were talking and she reminded me, she goes, Pearl, think about it. You took away your mom's youthhood, not you on purpose, but you coming into this world and being bored. It basically take away that opportunity to enjoy that young life you're supposed to do, you know? And I said, wow. And then so that's what started my people pleasing, because then my sister comes along like maybe 3 years later, my mom, and has my brother. And so my dad's still, you know, working all these hours, doing this stuff. So I'm babysitting at an elementary school. We don't do that today. It's so not allowed today. But think about it. I was babysitting in elementary school. So I started that people pleasing thing very young. So for the parents that are listening, think about your actions and how you speak, how your emotional intelligence shows up in the lives of what you're paying forward into your children. Because if you're a parent that grew up saying, well, as a little kid, go around the corner, you're not supposed to be heard, right? That these are adults talking. Well, then you're thinking the thought process might be as you grow up is that, well, what I have to say isn't worth anything to say. So I'm going to sit over here and be quiet, right? Or, you know, if I don't do, you know, I was the extreme that when my mom had surgery, I had to stay home as a little kid to take care of my mom. I was in no shape to take care of my mom. Like I had to get lunch or whatever. And it's not any fault of my parents. It's just that was a situation. But that set me up for people pleasing. That set me up to go, oh, if I don't do that, I'm not a good daughter, right? Or if I don't do that, I'm not a good wife or a mother. So learning these things, if you're listening to Brett and I, if you can learn these things and think about what you're saying or how your actions go up to your child, so 7 years old, and you're struggling with that, let's talk, because we can help you change some of those thoughts with things like understanding what your emotional intelligence is, understanding the judges and saboteurs that show up in our lives. And so, I too, like you as well, Perrette, even today, I have friends that will come and say, can I tell you something? And can you promise me not to say anything? And so I'm like, okay, is it something you're going to want advice with? Because they'll look at me, I'm like, so here's the thing. If you're open to receiving, you can tell me your information. But if you're not open to receiving, I don't want to hear, because I'm not going to keep it to my heart and not share with you my thoughts, right? So how do you do that with your, you know, with your, we're going to talk about your clients here in just a second, but with those friends that still come to you, Perrette, how do you manage that?
I'll say that in a second as well, but I want to go back with the thing you said about your kids, because parents have to understand that the voice, all those things, like you said, what they're saying, like to the, especially before the age of 7, this is going to be your child's inner voice. So that's going to be like those thoughts that we talked about before, what your automatic thoughts that go on in your head. Those are going to be your child's thoughts that you're going to tell them. Those are going to be their subconscious. But with my friends, I try to same way. If they want the advice, though, because I see the friends who they just come to complain. And if they just come to complain, I don't need to be hearing complaining if you're not willing to change anything. So I kind of cut it off, like even to like literally cut it off or set some kind of boundary and give some kind of advice. But if it's consistent and there's no willingness to change, it's just negative energy or negative thoughts around, and I don't want those negative thoughts around. You know, I've been giving them advice a few times, and if they don't take the advice, then that's all. I'm not gonna listen to your complaints anymore, because that you choose. It's kind of the way I see you're already choosing that kind of life, and you don't want to change. You're so comfortable with that situation that you got yourself so comfortable you don't want to change.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so true, because we sometimes get so comfortable that comfortableness is so comforting that we don't want to make that change. It's like I have, you know, I talk to my clients too, and I do a retreat. So every year we do a pajama retreat, and we do it every year in September at the beach, PJs, no makeup. And so we talk about, just give me one foot. Can you just give me one foot out of your comfort zone? I'll help you move the next foot, but can you just give me one foot? That's all I want you to give me. Let me show you how just moving one foot can make a huge difference in the next step, right? And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, just give me the 1 foot. That's all I want. I'm not asking you to blow up the box. I'm not asking you to, you know, jump off a cliff. I just want to like hold your hand as you give me the 1 foot, right? And then they break up that comfortableness, starts to let down a little bit. Then they start to be like, okay, I can let my emotions out. It's okay to let my emotions show. You know, it's okay to step forward and be afraid. Because, you know, fear, like we hear it all the time, but it's so true. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And if you don't make that next step, you're never going to know what it can bring you, right? Like you're not going to know what that can bring you. And the challenge is that it can hold us back so long that we get comfortable in that uncomfortableness, right? That we feel like, oh, you know, it's not so bad. Like I have a client that is in a situation that they've been in this situation for a long, long time. And they keep saying they want to make a change, but they don't want, they're afraid to step into that step because the unknown. Yeah. I mean, it's going to change income. It's going to change where living. It's just going to change everything. And so what I say to my client is that I'm like, okay, you've got a choice. We can go down the road you are currently on where you truly aren't happy, and we can create happiness for you on that road. If this is the road you want to stay on and you know you are so locked into the fearness of moving and opening the, even 1 foot out, let me create happiness for you. But we got to do some work to get there. I'm going to ask you some tough questions about that relationship, so that I know where you're going to find the happiness at, and also how to communicate that to this other half of yours, right? Or if you're ready to totally just give me 1 foot out of the box, let me bring you this way. Let's take a right-hand turn. Let's have the resources in place that you're going to need, so that in 6 months to a year down the line, when I've got all your feet out, all your hands out, all your limbs are out, you can look back and go, wow, I'm so glad I gave Pearl that 1 foot, right? Those two, just making a decision on either one of those overwhelmed her so much, she can't do it. Like she can't even give me a toe, right? So if you're listening, you have to ask yourself, am I truly happy being in this uncomfortableness, this life that I'm really not happy with? Or am I willing to say, and you know, I'm just going to put it out there. Those of you that listen know that I lost my son last July in a tragic car accident. And I've always been somebody who said, you're not promised tomorrow. But when the reality hit my family, I had a choice. Like, you know, the first 6 months were hard. I was forcing myself to get up and do things. But I had a choice in those 6 months of saying, forget it all. I don't care who I help. I don't care what I've done in my business. I'm just going to sit in my bed and cry my life away. Or I can say, you know what? I did all this work to become stronger, to become happier, to become empowered, become radiant, and become original in who I want to be in my life, that Matthew saw me graduate to that Shiro that I am, that I want to carry that forward in my life. And so it was hard. Looking back, I'm so glad I did, because I have met people that grief has basically been like a concrete wall for them, that they can't get up. And I pray for them all the time, and I feel for them because I know what that is like. And so making that choice of saying, I'm going to do something that's freaking difficult because I don't want to look back when I'm up in heaven or whatever you believe and look back and go, I wish I would have done that, you know, because we're not promised the next 30 seconds. So if you're listening to Perrette and I today and you feel like, you know, I'm stuck and I don't know what to do, it's okay to have that feeling. It's a valid feeling. Now the next step is, what do you want to do with it, right? And so Perrette, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the common things that we see in the clients we work with that hold them back. I mean, for me, it was definitely people pleasing. You know, that was my number one for me, was people pleasing. Like, I'm afraid if I say no to that person, they're not going to like me. You know, I felt guilty because I would tell them I can't go help them. You know, those are some of that was my top one. The other one was I'm a risk taker. I'm like, I'll just go and try it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, whatever happens, happens, right? What are some of the top three things that you see that hold people back with their emotional intelligence?
The one that I notice the most is negative self-talk. So there's so much negative self-talk that people are telling themselves. And it comes from maybe from a childhood, from the parents or caretakers that they had, society, media, where they hear the things. and they hear those negative self-thoughts in their head and they believe them. And that's the work with neuro-linguistic programming, where we try to turn them around and understand that most of that negative self-talk is absolutely not true. And you just have to figure it out, all those things out. One thing what I'm teaching, and I always say with my clients as well, and when I'm telling that I'm a happiness expert, people think of like happiness expert. So that just means that everything's always good thoughts only. Like there's everything or just happiness only. And I'm trying to, as an expert, I'm teaching them that's not reality. You have happiness, real happiness, when you step, take the happiness and bring it into reality. Yes, you can have happiness and you can be a happy person all the time, but you're still going to feel, sometimes you're going to feel sad. Sometimes you're going to feel fear. Sometimes you're going to feel angry. You're still going to experience all those other emotions, but that doesn't have to take you away from your general being happiness, which is when those other moments when everything is kind of steady or when you're calm or when after you experience those other feelings, that's where the state that you go back to happiness. And when you always, for the future, you're always looking for positive outcomes from when you feel angry. Okay, I feel angry, but how can we turn it into something that's, I'm not going to take my anger off on somebody else, but I'm going to try to figure out the situation and try to find how we can make the situation to a positive situation again. When it's sadness, you still feel the sadness, grief. You feel the grief. If you need the days to cry, you take the great days to cry. You process, you do all this. You set a, like a little limit there. Maybe I read from one very good book, Tuesdays with Maury. You take like 10, 15 minutes a day where you just grieve or you're just feeling all those sad moments. And then you go on with your day and do all the other things. But you have to let that things, those other feelings process through you when you have to still feel them. And I always had fear, sadness, and anger. Like I said, anger, I already said. You can take one of the most rules with me and anger, with what I teach other people. The rule is you can't take it off on other people. If it does happen occasionally, you go back and you say, I'm sorry. Because sometimes it comes too fast and you just angrily say something like that and you don't really mean it, even like later on. You don't start making excuses that, okay, I was angry and I was right. Some of the people, they start making excuses why they were allowed to take their anger off on people, but they're not. So you have to like, manage the feeling and go say, I'm sorry. But with the fear, you still have to rationalize the fear and see if it's actually a legit fear or it's something from the past, it's something from the future, it's something that somebody else applied to you, and still find a way to go through the fear.
I love that you shared all that, because that was my next question. Is you brought us right there. I was like, okay, tell us really, what does happiness expert mean, right? You know, like you're happy all the time. And I'm glad you went down there, because it doesn't mean that it's like you said, processing the emotion so that you can be happy all the time, right? Because if you don't process the anger, if you don't process the sadness, if you don't process all those other emotions that can be negative things that can hold us back, yeah, you're never going to be happy. You're not going to know how to find happiness. However, if you can look and say, this is, you know, it's coming from this, it happened because of that, you know, you can process that, you can release it and still find harmony or happiness in your life. And I love that you shared that and remind us of that, because, and like you said too, I love that you remind everybody too, that the anger doesn't mean you take that out in others. And sometimes we do. Sometimes our words will come out faster than we want them to, or our actions. And we're like, oh. And it takes a really amazing person that can go back and say, you know what? What I did was wrong and I'm sorry. And just leave it like that. It's you know, it's such a big move for yourself when you can recognize that, you know what, I made a mistake, I said something wrong, you know, and go back and take ownership of it and just, you know, don't give why, you know, I got angry and this is why. No, just apologize. It's sort of like I took Dale Carnegie years ago and he talks about saying thank you, right? And it's like, just say, thank you. I'd like to thank so-and-so and thank you very much. And then be done, right? Mm-hmm. Ever since I took Dale Carnegie, I have never been able to watch the Oscars, because they get up there and they give this whole big thank you thing. And I'm like going, stop, you know, it's like, it's crazy. But But it goes the same way of apologizing or recognizing an action that we did, how it affects somebody else, especially with our children. Like, I think it's really powerful when as a parent, you can go back and say to that child, hey, you know, what I said earlier, you know, I got angry and I didn't mean for that to happen. That's a great example of communication with our children to recognize those actions that we did. You know, they weren't something that we would want them to perceive and do later on in their life. You know, I think that's powerful. So, all right. So let's talk about happiness for a second here. Happiness expert, like you touched on a little bit, doesn't mean everybody's going to come in, they're going to walk out happy. Like they got to do the work to get there, right? So tell us a little bit about what is the customer journey when a customer comes and works with you. What's some of the journey they can expect when they're working with you, Perrette?
Well, for my customers, I have, and I'm making into our online program as well that people can buy and do it themselves. But the process is first to find out what is holding you back from happiness. So those are your gatekeepers. There's several gatekeepers that people have, and you have to find what is the one that you have. Is it that I'll give you some examples of just people like in their thoughts, they thought that they're not allowed to be happy. So that's what I'm teaching people as well. One of my slogans is like, you are allowed to be happy, because they're holding back and saying like, well, I have to be. And one of the misconceptions as well, I will be happy when, you know, that's one of it. So first thing we have to figure out what is the gatekeeper for them, for their happiness. And then we find out, because I teach that happiness is really personalized. So we have to find out what are the things that make you happy. So because I give this advice that I had with two of my clients, one liked showers and one liked bathtubs. So if I will tell the one that likes showers that to be happy, you have to take a bath, it's not going to work. So that's what people have to understand, that you have to find out what are the things that make you happy. And you might take examples from other people, what makes them happy, and try them out and see if it works for you or not. But if it doesn't work for you, then just you just know, okay, well, that's not my thing, and I'll try something else again. And then third one, we go and make a plan. We make a plan how you can have more happiness in your life, in your daily life, and how to follow it, and how to make like a journal and see how daily, how you can increase your happiness so you will start making in your constant daily feeling.
I love that you start with like with the thoughts, you know, and then you're right. Many people do say, I'll be happy when everything will work out when. And what if the when never comes? What if it doesn't come, right? How can you create happiness today with what you have today? Kind of like that client I talked about earlier. You know, if you don't want to change the relationship and because you're afraid of what's going to, you know, happen when you decide to make the change, and you're afraid if you're going to survive, which you will survive, but that fear is holding you back, you know, that I'll be happy when doesn't always work that way. It doesn't, you know, and it may not ever change. The when may never, ever happen. And I like to talk about like personalizing it too. It's so, because you're right. I had to go to the doctor's a couple weeks ago, and she's like, well, you need to take more baths. I'm like, I hate taking it. Like, I love a bath, but don't tell me I have to take a bath like almost every other day, right? And I'm like going, I don't want to take more baths, you know? And so, but I'm finding joy in that now, right? I'm going, okay, if I need to do this for my health, let's figure this out, you know? So I'm finding, you know, how to make that, you know, because I love a hot shower. I love the hot water just on me, really warm and hot. So I figured that out. It's going to sound crazy if you're listening to me, but I'm taking my hot shower in the morning, like washing my hair and everything. And then I just go sit and soak in the tub for about 15 minutes. So I get my hot shower in, but then I'm also doing what's healthier for me for other reasons. And so I find a way to make that work. And the point is like Perrette is saying, like find the way that the happiness works for you. Everybody, it's not a book. We're all not the same. We're not built the same. We're not meant to be built the same. And then, you know, those steps, those daily steps to do to start incorporating that happiness. I'm a big journal person, Perrette. I love journaling. I love writing pros and cons. I'm like right now to the left of me, like my to-do list, I hate books that I have to write down my to-do list. So on my left-hand side, I've got like this dry erase Excel looking spreadsheet thing, and I can do check marks. Okay, I got this done. I got that done. I got that. But I can visualize it while I'm sitting here, right? So I love to do those kind of things. And that makes me happy. Like having to write a book or having to go on a spreadsheet on my computer, I'm like going, I don't want to do that, right? And so I won't do it, right? We're not going to do it. If it's something that doesn't make us happy, we're not going to do it, right? So I love that you shared that as well. One of the things that I like to do, it's kind of funny we're talking about this happiness too, is to do, I call it my what brings you joy, right? A what brings you joy list, right? And so it's one of the first steps I do with my clients in their journey with me is I want to find out what makes them happy, right? What makes their heart sing, right? And so I'm going to play a little game with you if you'll play with me as a happiness expert. Would you want to play with me?
Yeah.
All right. So normally I ask them for 10. I'm just going to ask you for 3. And we're going to talk about Perrette herself, not her clients. We're going to talk about you. So tell us, Perrette, 3 things that bring you joy and why do they bring you joy? So let's start with 1. Why does it bring you joy? What is it that brings you joy?
Well, 1 is my daughter.
What about your daughter brings you joy?
Just having her around and joking with her and her doing all her cute things and everything like that. So, and seeing her development, how she's growing up and all those things that she's going through and just learning from that. And one thing that I really like to make her giggle or laugh, one of the things.
And how old is she?
Yeah, it just brings the natural, like when you hear your child laughing or giggling, it just naturally brings your own mood up.
Right. And how old is your daughter?
She's 9 now.
Oh, that's awesome. So thank you for playing with me. So thinking about your daughter and her laughing and everything and how that brings you joy, how does that feel for you? Like what's happening inside for you when that happens?
Oh, I can't even imagine. That's something I can't describe because it's just like, that emotion inside, like every cell in my body is just like joyful. And it's just warm, joyful, tingling, all like things like that.
So what Perrette is saying that being around her daughter and that joy that she has just gives her so much pride inside that deep down into her cells, she just finds a beautiful feeling of happiness, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that description. So keep playing with me. I'm glad you're playing with me. So what would be 2 for you? What's 2 like for you? What's the second thing that brings you joy?
2 is actually working with my clients and working, doing a podcast and talking with people because I'm a really curious person. So I like asking all kinds of questions and finding out the information and giving them information, making them find their answers and just like conversation, not just with the clients that are helping them out and everything like this. But I have my podcast when I talk with my guests and just conversations with people. That's another thing that brings me so much joy.
And so keep playing with me here for a second. So when you're thinking about those conversations and all those things you're doing with your clients and the podcast, like at the end of the day, when you look back on that day, what is that feeling you're feeling?
It's still uplifting.
So working
lighter, that one makes sure that even now when I'm talking about, it makes me feel lighter and like even like moving more, like moving myself more. And it's like just, I would say lighter and moving or like more movement in me.
So why do you think you feel lighter?
If I say why, I don't know. I think it's just the uplifting feeling that we have from something that we like doing. It's like same when I thought, like not when you're asking it, same like with the happiness, you know, with that, when you feel really happy, a lot of times you feel like sharing with somebody. So you want to like tell other people, you want to like feel a lot of in the big situations, you see when something really good happens to people, they hug and they kiss.
Right.
Like that. So that's kind of that feeling that people getting from doing something that they like.
So what I take from that is that Perrette's working with her clients helps her feel lighter because she sees how the success of them is allowing their thoughts to become lighter as well. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So thanks for playing along. I got 1 more. 3, what's the 3rd thing that brings you joy and why does it bring you joy?
I like events and going outside and events and everything like this and looking at experiences. I like experiences, things like that. So I like experiencing new things. If I go somewhere and do something new, so it's a little bit like usually people, and before as well, like I didn't have a right word yet. So people will say it's a fear. So when they started something new, they say they feel fear. But that was about 10 years ago. I relabeled it knowingly because I was already doing the work and learning all the things, how to do things. I relabeled it and I said, when I'm starting something new, I don't call it fear anymore. I call it excitement.
Oh, I love that.
Because it feels the same way. You feel like this tension in your body, you're like jiggles, you don't know exactly what's going on. So instead of like people asking, when I was doing about to do something new, people ask, are you scared? And say, it's like, no, I'm excited. And that changed that. And I've been practicing for 10 years now. So now when that feeling comes out, my brain labels it as excitement instead of as fear. So people ask, are you scared? I was like, no, I'm excited.
I love that. So for Perrette, what she's saying is going out and doing things that are out of her comfort zone brings her joy because it actually, instead of being scared, it actually allows excitement to come into her world and she gets to see it differently than what fear would bring it for. I love that example. And for those of you who are listening, I hope you wrote that down, that instead of looking at fear as being fear, what if we looked at it as being exciting, like something exciting? Now, Fred, I don't know that I could look at jumping off of a building on a zip line could be exciting, but I guess I could look at that way too, because like, I could say at the end of the rope, if I make it to the end, how exciting it was I completed the task, right? So when I do that, and I know all my PJ sisters are listening, they're going to get me out and to do that very, very soon. So I'm so excited for that to come in my life now. So, okay. So I want to thank you for playing along with those first three. Normally I do 10 with my clients. So if you're listening to this, Perrette's getting off easy right now because getting through the first like five is kind of easy. But when I make you find me five other ones, that's deep work. That's like really going inside and going, what really makes me sing inside, right? So, right, once we figure out our joy and the things that bring us joy, and we break down exactly why, like this is sometimes for some of my clients, that can take 3 weeks, believe it or not, to walk through that, right? Because of that whole emotional, that sabotage, that judging that we say to ourselves, well, why should I be happy about that? So once we work through there, then, you know, in our life, we create to-do lists. Like I said, I don't do a to-do list. I have my thing over here on the left of me of things I want to get done today. We have a to-do list to go grocery shopping. If you're listening to this, we recorded this during the holidays. I'm sure many of us had lists of, I got to go still shop for this one. But we create all these lists. But the one important list that we forget to create is our not to-do list. Like we have this joy, right? We have this list of these things that bring us joy. But in order to work on this list and do these things that bring me joy, have to stop doing things over here that's keeping me from moving forward, right? So you touched on one earlier, but which was the thoughts, right? Our thoughts, right? So if you were to think of three things that have to be on your not to do list, what things do you have to stop doing so you can enjoy those three things that bring you joy?
I think, Pearl, I'm not going to be able to answer that because I did that work about 15 years ago.
So give us some examples. Give the listeners some of the examples that might be on a not to do list. Because since you've done the work, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it was behind. So now I'm already not doing those things. So now you limited all those things. But one of those things was definitely I will just stay with one. But one of the most important thing was not letting your brain on that auto dwelling thing.
Right.
You're like when your brain starts saying like, oh, I should have not done this. And it just like keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling. And it just, I remember the moment that I start teaching myself not to do it as well. It was funny because it's a funny moment because I had this situation. I was in a different town. We were traveling and I had shoes on and they were really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it was the evening time and I was not able to walk in those shoes anymore. So I had to go to the store and I'm going to buy some just other shoes that I'm going to be able to walk for the rest of the evening in. And I bought the shoes, but I didn't really find shoes that I liked. And I just bought shoes that I'll be able to finish it. And then for the rest of the evening, instead of enjoying the evening, I was thinking about those that I spent money on shoes that I don't like. So it's just spinning in my head. And like, I didn't want to have that thought, but I was spinning and spinning and spinning. Right. And that's where I noticed that that's just bothering me. And I had to learn not to let that thought, like those automatic thoughts, to be in my head and just spin around. So right. I learned consciously start learning how to let that kind of rolling thoughts go.
And that's so, yeah, that's so powerful because, and you're right, Pearl, because, and I love that you were honest and said, listen, Pearl, I've already done that work. So I don't want to go back there, right? I don't want to let those thoughts back in, which is a powerful lesson because once you do the work, it's even bigger work when you can stop letting them come back in, right? Because if you let them come back in, like Pearl was saying, I don't want to live my world because they're gone. I don't need to open the space for them to come back in. I love that you shared that, Pearl, with us. And you're right. Like I was like, that's the hard work with the not to do list is the hard work is to do the work of not letting the thoughts that we have that can spiral us, that make us think the rest of the night, instead of enjoying the evening, these shoes are really bothering my feet, or I don't like the shoes I put on my feet. You know, those can stop us from having fun going forward. I remember a few months ago, I was at an event. I did something that I had promised I was going to do. The person decided that they even after asking me my thoughts of, is it okay for them to still do this thing that they did, and me telling them that, yeah, I'm going to take offense to it, that would really bother me. They still went and did it. And I'm sitting at a table with them and I hear them telling another party that, well, they did it anyways. And that really hurt me. Like I could see it, and visibly I was hurt on the outside. Like my husband could see I was upset. So I had to make the thought was, I don't want to go the rest of the night with these people because they were so disrespectful to me, right? So I had to remove myself from the table. There was like 20 of us. I had to remove myself from that table and go outside and just kind of like process the feeling, process the thought I was having, and then said, I can let this person keep me from enjoying the time with all these other 19 people, or I can say, I'm going to leave it here at this place we're at and go off and enjoy my time, right? Because that's a choice. And that's a big choice in our thoughts that can hold us back in our, like we're talking about emotional intelligence and positive intelligence, is that if I had let that thought hold me back, I wouldn't have enjoyed the time with those other 19 people who I really wanted to, right? And then later on, I would have been even madder because I would be like, man, I let that person have my feelings, right? So the work that you do with your clients and the work that I do with my clients, we both are able to help our clients see that those thoughts can like be a jail around what's, you know, what's waiting for you on the other side. And going back to just give me one foot out the door, let me help you, right? And so I love that you shared that with us. I love that you shared about how, you know, those negative thoughts, how they can hold us back. And I appreciate you reminding us of that. And I'm looking at our time, Pearl, and I'm like going, oh my gosh, we've been having so much fun here. So I'd love to, and I want everybody to, I just want to circle back really quick. Is that Pearl was very honest. And it's so important that we are honest about our thoughts to say, Pearl, I've already done that work. I don't want to bring that negative thought back in, because you're right, Pearl. Would you agree? And if you want to talk more on this, we got some time, that when we let those things back in, we got to redo the work.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. That's why when you're already done with the situation and you are able to leave it in a timeline back and when it happened, don't carry it with you. Because there was one thing where I learned it as well, was in some kind of book they were asking a person, are you married or single? And a person kept on saying, I'm divorced. And they were finally asking, well, how long time ago you got divorced? And they said, well, 20 years ago. So there's like, okay, well, a divorce was 20 years ago. Now, are you married or single or something? Let's say you're single or something like this, but they were still stuck on that thing in the past.
That's powerful.
Like you were saying, talking, leaving that in the timeline as possible. But you have to do work with it. With the coaches is the best thing, or somebody holding your hand in the beginning, it's easier this way.
Yeah. And,
what I was learning with those automatic thoughts, my really, really big moment with controlling those automatic thoughts was, I still remember it. It was so funny. I woke up in the morning with some kind of thought was just absolutely no truth. Some weird thought that just came out of my mind from media or something or like this. And because I knew how to do work with it, I said, cancel. And that was just gone. And I remember my own emotion in that moment. I was like, that's it. it's just gone. We just saying cancel, but it wasn't because I just said cancel it as to that moment. It was because I already have done all the work in the previous years.
Right.
So I know how it works and everything like this. But that's when I got to the point that I was able to just cancel it with one word.
That's so powerful. It reminds you. So I have my word. I'm a big football fan. I love the Buffalo Bills. So my word is Buffalo. So if a thought comes in, like if I'm doing activities and I got the negative thoughts and things like that are constantly like on my brain, I'll use Betsy's to kind of sage. So that's Betsy going, stop all that negative stuff you're coming. That's like a constant circle today. Right. But if I'm doing, like you said, if I get up and I have this one thought, or even in my family, because like my boys used to say, you're acting like grandma. And I'm like, I don't want to behave like grandma because I don't want that. So we came up with the word buffalo and it sort of has carried on. So when I hear buffalo, it's like, oh, sort of like your word cancel, like, oh, stop. I've already done that. I don't need or don't do that behavior because this is how it's affecting somebody else. So I love that you remind us too, that we can have things like that. And that's part of like what you talked about too, Perrette. It's like when you work with coaches like yourself and myself, we can help you with those tools to have in your toolbox so that when you're not with us, you can say, oh no, buffalo or cancel or, you know, a sage of thought or Betsy, whatever those things are, we can help you work through that. So I'm glad you reminded us of that as well. And I want to thank you for being here today with us. This has been so, so much fun, but I want everybody to know how to reach you. And we're going to put it in the show notes, but tell everybody, Perrette, how they can reach out to you.
The best way is through my website. So it's www.bypirate.com. So that's the best way. Easy way to look up as well the information is go to YouTube and go Perrette Happiness Expert. And that's where all my contact info and everything like this is as well.
That's awesome. So we'll put all that in the show notes. So it's www.bypirate
and then P-I-R-E-T.
Awesome. And so we'll put that for everybody as well. So we have a few minutes left. I've already informed and forewarned Perrette that we are going to do our Better Questions, Better Life cards. And if you're new to the show, these are over 70 cards that my friends, Diane Allen and Carol Gill created. They are meant to ask you questions that you can journal over. You can have conversations over. We do this for icebreaker sometimes. We pick a card. So I'm going to shuffle the cards. Perrette's going to tell me to stop. And then we're going to ask the question. So here we go.
Stop.
All right. So her question is, oh my gosh, Perrette, do you remember the card I asked you that I told you at the beginning of the show?
Is that the same one?
It's the same one. Okay. So you guys, listen, this happens sometimes. We pre-test it so she understands how it's going to go. And this is the same card I stopped at before. How have I surprised myself? How have you surprised yourself, Perrette?
I think the way I surprise myself is when I do something, I always like pay attention and analyze my actions and everything. And when I'm planning to do something in one way, and suddenly I'm doing it completely differently, and I'm stopping myself as like, well, why did I do this? And came up like better solution. But like just surprising, my feeling of surprise, like, well, how did my conscious mind already had all this plan, but now subconsciously I did something different and I got a better solution.
I love that. That's awesome. So our mind is a powerful thing, as you guys have heard us talk about here today. And Perrette, again, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. We'll make sure everybody gets your contact information in our show notes. If you're listening to this, go to YouTube and follow us and subscribe us on YouTube at Conversations with Pearl. And also you'll find Perrette online there as well. But I just want to remind everybody today that you are an amazing person. And as you come into this world, we're a little rough on the outside. We've got some things to work on to smooth out our shell as you open up that oyster. And on the inside, you're going to find your inner pearl to greatness. And I hope today's conversation helped you just to start opening that shell a little more and find your inner pearl to greatness. Have an amazing day. You've been listening to me for a little while, but I wanted to really explain to you what a shiro is. You hear me talk about on the radio show and the podcast often about what is a shiro. And what I want you to know is a shiro is you. You are listening today and you are a shiro. But what do I mean you're a shiro? So a shiro is somebody who is strong. You have so much strength and maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're not seeing it inside yourself. And you need help tapping into that. And that's what I love to help women do, is to find your strength within and help you pour it out of yourself, help you become the strong person you are. And H stands for happy. You know, we all want to be happy, but sometimes finding the roadmap to happiness isn't easy. And so sometimes we have to help make that deep dive into answering heartful, soulful questions about what does it really mean to be happy? What brings me joy? What do I need to say no to so that I can become the person I want to be and the strong person I want to be that's also happy? And then empowered. You are empowered just by listening to this podcast that we do or the radio show to be the person that you are meant to be, that person inside, that little girl that's inside, just waiting to come out. We want to empower you through our Shiro method to become that strong, happy, empowered person that you are. But it's not an easy step. So, you know, we have to cut through the fluff and the excuses and the drama and the mess so that we can make that progress. Because as we start making the progress, then what happens is you start seeing the radiant you. You start arriving at the level that you've created, that divine roadmap, where you're finally starting to live intentionally. And as you live intentionally, then you realize your strength really is powerful, that your happiness is meaningful, and that you are empowered to pay it forward to others, to do the things you want to do without guilt, because you deserve it and because your radiance is showing. And then as you work through that progress, then what happens is you become your original self. You become that authentic you that you're supposed to be. Like, you've done that deep soulful work and you're starting to make that path of satisfaction and that happiness you've been craving. And so you start laying down the foundation of your success. When you wake up in the morning, you find yourself looking in the mirror, realizing that you don't recognize your old self anymore, that you see yourself reflected everywhere in your stride, your relationships, your career, and even your hobbies. So as you align your outward trajectory with that inward path, you start gaining that clarity and that confidence and courage to focus and follow your internal direction. So really, that's what a Shiro is. And it's not easy to get there, right? We need to learn the steps to become that true Shiro, to tap into those superpowers that you have within. And that's why we have what's called our Shiro League. And if you want to join a community of women that are working on exactly these things that we're talking about, that are becoming strong, that are happy, that are empowered, that are radiant and original, that want to tap into things that bring them joy and say no to the things that don't let them enjoy the things that they want to do. We meet every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Zoom. No makeup. If you want makeup, you can, but just come in to be your radiant self, to be that original person you are. Because really, as you look at your biggest sources of stress, we want to help you with our Shiro League and our Shiro method to help you listen to that internal compass so you can start decluttering your distractions and really identify what's really missing in your life. Like, what brings you joy? And what, we're not talking foo-foo feeling stuff, like really what fills your cup? What makes you so happy to put your cape on first? And as we do that and you become that Shiro you're meant to be, then what happens is you are radiant. You have created an opportunity to release what you need to say no to so that you can start fulfilling your purpose. So you can start stepping out of your comfort zone and really into what brings your joy. And our Shiro Method Roadmap is that crucial step of helping you to live the life you want to be that Shiro you want to be, to tap into what it is you deserve to do, what it is you've been desiring to do. And listen, if you're a mom and you've got kids and you're a working mom outside the house, you're not all about the mom title. You are Pearl. You are Sue. You are Jacqueline. You are Stella. You are somebody that matters and somebody that has goals and visions that deserves to create that divine roadmap so that you finally begin and, like I said, live your life intentionally. So if you're ready to do that and you want some help with that, I would love to invite you to a free call with me. Just let's talk about where you're at, how you get to where you want to go. What are your goals? What brings you joy? What do you need to say no to? And I would love to help you peel back those layers so that you can arrive at the real answers so that we can cut away the fluff and the excuses and the drama and help you make that real progress. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 30 seconds. And if you are here and you're listening, then you know that we are about putting ourselves first. We're about putting that cape on first. We're about finding your true, authentic self and learning how to overcome people pleasing and start tapping into your superpowers. Because as you tap into your superpowers, you then can take care of those you love, the things you love to do, even better than what you're doing today. Because when you put yourself first, you can become the Shiro that you're meant to be. And your superpowers will help even take care of your family and your loved ones to a much bigger success than you're already doing. So if you're ready to tap into your superpowers and ready to find out how to become your true Shiro, I want you to email me, Shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. That's Shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. And I would love to help you become the Shiro of your life.